Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the CBS Elite XC Announce Team conference call. Thank you for joining. On the call today, we have the CBS Elite XC Saturday Night Fights broadcast team, Gus Johnson, who's play-by-play, Mauro Rinaldo, and Frank Shamrock will be joining. Mauro's on. Frank Shamrock will be joining us shortly. There are analysts and cage side reporter Karen Bryant. They will have the call for the inaugural Primetime Network event to be broadcast live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, Saturday, May 31st, 9 to 11 p.m. on CBS. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the announcers for opening comments, and then we will go to your questions. Gus?
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing? We at CBS are really excited about having an opportunity to get into the mixed martial arts business. I really feel that mixed martial arts is the sport of the future. It gives people an accurate kind of a simulation of what hand-to-hand combat would look like. And I think it takes combat sports to a whole nother level. I think that it's a sport that's sweeping the country. The kids love it. And I also believe that, you're seeing mixed martial arts academies, dojos, and jiu-jitsu academies popping up all over the country. Not only are they watching it, but there are a lot of young people that are also going out and training. So I think that this is the perfect opportunity for mixed martial arts to be shown to the world through CBS in prime time. And I think Kimbo Slice is the kind of person that can give this sport the added attention that could really develop it. I was with him yesterday. He's a terrific man. He is focused. He is poised. He's very articulate. And he understands the opportunity that's being given to him. He is training hard. I mean, when I look at Kimbo Slice yesterday at the end of his workout, he weighed in at about 238, and when I got there, he was on time, and he did about four or five rounds of boss rooting, shadow boxing at a very high level. Then he got into the ring. He did about five minute rounds on the hand pads, and then he got off the got out of the ring and got onto the to the floor and did about five rounds, intense rounds, and ground and pound with the dummy. And then he did his calisthenics, and he got a great workout. It was efficient. It was positive, and the camp has a great energy in it. So I just think that mixed martial arts is the sport of the future, as I mentioned, and I am really happy to have an opportunity to be a part of it.
Thank you. Mauro?
Yes, hello there. I'm Mauro Rinaldo. It's a distinct honor and pleasure to be a part of this landmark event on Saturday, May 31st, working with a very talented crew like Gus Johnson, who has definitely made his name as one of the preeminent sports play-by-play broadcasters, Frank Shamrock, who is a pioneer of mixed martial arts, and of course, Karen Bryant, who has been in many forms of media and has definitely built a name for herself. I've had the pleasure of calling some of the biggest mixed martial arts events ever in Japan for Pride Fighting Championships, and of course, with Elite XC and Show XC and just a myriad other organizations in mixed martial arts, and to see the sport now arrive on primetime on May 31st and CBS having the foresight and vision to bring it to a mass audience is just a banner day for all of us who have been involved for the length of time that we are in. And to echo what Gus has said, the one thing about mixed martial artists at a world-class level and having worked with other professional athletes, and not to denigrate any athlete whatsoever, but mixed martial artists are all about the fans. You can approach them on any given day in their gym or outside of their gym. They'll spend any amount of time talking with you, educating you, giving an autograph, a photograph, and really that's what really attracted me to the sport, was the fact that these people are the greatest of athletes inside the cage, but some of the nicest human beings will meet outside of the cage. So, like I said, I this is a dream come true for me. It's something that I know is well-deserved for the sport of mixed martial arts, and for me to be a part of it is definitely a career highlight, and I'm looking forward to it on May 31st.
Thank you. Karen?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Well, I, too, am absolutely thrilled and excited to be a part of this. I've been working with Showtime Championship Boxing since early 2006, and that has just been unbelievable as far as working with Showtime, the broadcasters there have been nothing but the best, and I know they've continued that tradition as they transition to CBS. And I am a huge fight fan. I grew up watching boxing with my father. I've been a fan of fighting for a long, long time. And mixed martial arts is just so exciting, and I really am happy to represent the women who watch the sport. There are a lot of us who are fans, a lot of us who initially might have just gone to these things kind of as a date and turned out to you know, really enjoy the sport and become big fans, and we're signing up for, you know, classes and buying the fights on TV and going to the fights just as happily and anxiously as the guy fans are. So I'm happy to sort of give voice to the women that are watching, and I think this is just going to be fantastic. We have such a great lineup, and I think for those eyeballs who have never seen this before, they're going to see something revolutionary and something that they're going to want to see more of.
Thank you. Has Frank joined? Okay. We will let you know when he joins, and operator, if we could turn it over to you for questions.
Certainly, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And to remove your question, please press the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one. First, we'll go to Bernard Fernandez of the Philadelphia Daily News. Please go ahead, sir. Bernard Fernandez, your line is open.
You want to go to the next question?
Okay, we'll go to Mel Brock of the Oklahoma. Please go ahead. Mel Brock, your line is open. We'll now go to Eddie Goldman of No Holds Barred. Please go ahead.
Are their lines definitely open?
Your lines are open. Hold for just a moment.
You get a bad version of Happy Birthday?
Yeah.
Like an entertainer thing for the top of the show.
Eddie Goldman, your line's open.
Hi, can everybody hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Great. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. I have a first question for Gus. Gus, you've been involved in announcing a lot of different sports, but as you know, people in the combat sports, particularly mixed martial arts, regard them as something special. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement? We understand you recently started doing some training in jiu-jitsu and the mixed martial arts. And do you view these type of sports as different from some of the other game and ball sports in which you're involved in?
I don't really view mixed martial arts as a different sport. I think that my approach is going to be to call mixed martial arts with the same passion, intensity, focus, and commitment that I do. That I do when I call the NFL, the NCAA, pro basketball, or professional boxing, or any other sport that I have an opportunity to call. In terms of my involvement, I've been a boxer for a number of years. I trained with a guy by the name of Keith Dos Reese, who was in the Eddie Mustafa and Tim Witherspoon camp. So, you know, I've had an opportunity to receive high-level boxing training for the past 6-7 years. I've been studying Shin Yi Kung Fu for the past 2 years. And recently, you know, as you mentioned, I have taken up jiu-jitsu at the Henzo Gracie Academy on 30th Street in Manhattan, about 8 blocks away from my house. So I think that there's going to be a learning curve for me, but at the same time, I'm trying to dig in deep to make sure that I'm fully aware of what I'm going to see and to try to be able to understand what I'm going to see. And that basically takes place when the two fighters hit the floor and the ground attack starts. So, and I'm really excited about it and enthused about it, a little nervous about it, but at the same time confident that when the fights begin, my abilities will will be shown, and I'll be able to explain to America as best as I can what's going on in the cage.
Do you think, since you're newer to covering the mixed martial arts, you actually might be on the same page with most of the people on a CBS audience, because some of the people watching will have been, you know, watching or even participating in this for years, but given that it's on CBS on a Saturday night in prime time, there's bound to be a large number of people, maybe even a majority of the audience, that have little knowledge or maybe have never even seen the sport.
I think that's a really good point, and I think that is one of my strengths coming into the show on the 31st. Everything is new to me, therefore I'll be able to kind of, my goal is to be able to, with fresh eyes, tell especially the fans that haven't been watching mixed martial arts what's going on, what is an arm bar or a triangle choke or a guillotine or a rear naked choke, and try to, you know, set up Frank and Moro, who are experts in this beautiful sport, to really go even deeper than my knowledge. And I think with some enthusiasm about what's going on the floor in the cage when the ground attacks start, I think that's really going to be something that can be beneficial to the new fans that are tuning in prime time to watch mixed martial arts, maybe for the first time.
And last thing, you said you were watching Kimbo Slice training, even though this is only his third official professional fight. He had the backyard brawls and all that. There's a buzz about him that a lot of people haven't seen since the early days of Mike Tyson. Do you think he has the potential to meet those expectations and become a top, top level heavyweight MMA fighter?
Based on his commitment, I do think he has that ability. It's still early. He's a strong guy. He's a committed guy, and he's a focused guy, but mixed martial arts is a totally different sport. You know, I was talking to him yesterday, and, you know, a lot of his training, his serious focus took place when he was working with the dummy on the ground, with a ground and pound. And I just think that, you know, it's very important for him as he starts to climb and fight fighters that have a higher skill level, and he's going to really have to understand how to not only fight on the ground, but his defense in terms of not allowing people to get him to the ground is also going to have to be sharp. So I think Kimbo has that kind of ability. He is he's like a college football player or a young pro football player that walks around with a swagger, has that kind of great athletic body, but more than that, he has the focus and the commitment and the passion. He said to me yesterday when I was with him, he said, man, he was on the ground after he'd gotten through training and after he finished training, and he was like, man, you teach a guy from the streets this kind of stuff, man, I think I can go really far in this sport, and I'm looking forward to it. He said, I want to get on the ground. I want to break somebody's arm. I want to ground and pound somebody so people out there can understand that I'm serious and I'm training hard. Obviously, Boss Root is one of the great fighters in the history of the sport, and you know, he has great training and is committed to it, and I think that Kimbo Slice, like Mike Tyson, has the potential to go very far in this sport and to be a star.
Okay, thanks. And don't try any of the stuff you learned at Henzo's on Frank, because he knows it too.
Yeah, I know. Frank is the only analyst that I've ever worked with that, you know, you just know when you stand next to him that he can beat everybody up in the room. So I'm very respectful when I talk to Frank Shamrock.
And Frank has joined the call. He's on now as well.
Hey, Frank.
We'll now go to Bo Deer of USA Today. Please go ahead.
Frank, and for Gus, and that would be, how much room is there in this sport for different organizers? You have, obviously, UFC. You have IFL, although it's wavering. You have Elite SC. You have Strikeforce. And you have whatever's coming up in Japan. Going
Dream.
Right, Dream and World Victory Road. How many organizations can this sport support, and how much unification should there be between organizations?
You know what? That's a question that probably would be better answer by somebody like Morrow or somebody like Frank, because I'm new to the sport. And Morrow, you probably can answer this a lot better, or Frank. You know, I just think that the organizations are great. They're different production companies that are trying to highlight fighters, and to me right now, the more the merrier until it gets to a certain point. But I'd like to turn that question over to Frank or Morrow or Nello.
Sure, everybody.
Hey, if you don't mind, I'll go because I came on late. I apologize. This is Frank Shamrock.
Hello, Frank. Thank you.
First of all, yeah, thanks, everybody, for being on the call. We appreciate the time and the opportunity, and I'm excited about it. This is what I've been working for a long time, and, you know, to me, it's a lifestyle, and it's an art form, and it's an amazing way to live your life. About the question, you know what? I look at our current time period as the same time when Vince McMahon took wrestling and took all the satellite shows and all the local regional shows, and they eventually became one big show. The sport, in order to evolve, will eventually have to do these unification type opportunities. But I think we're a long way away from that. I think there's room for everybody in the industry that knows how to promote talent and put on a good show, because at the end of the day, we are sports entertainment, and people are going there to see, you know, a good show and a good story told.
And I can just chime in by saying competition is obviously a good thing for the sport, because it pushes the promoters to make the best fights possible. And, of course, from a fighter's perspective, of course, anything that can help them in the bottom line in their bank account, I'm a big fan of, because they are the show. So while we've seen a few organizations go through a lot of growing pains, and, of course, you have to spend money to make money, and we've heard about the trials and tribulations of the IFL, even the LEEDXC now, going to the big stage. I think in the end, the strongest will survive, but there definitely should be competition and not one omnipotent power. And I think we will see that, you know, in the wash at the end of the year, who the strongest are, especially after May 31st. You know, LEEDXC is definitely going to put itself on the map.
And I actually have one thing to add, and that's to say that as a fan of the sport, you know, if I'm sitting here watching it with my husband, I don't really care what channel it's on necessarily or who, you know, the production company is behind it. If we're sitting down and we want to watch some fights, we sit and watch some fights. I think he learns, you know, we learn from watching fighters that maybe aren't as polished to the guys that are at the top of their game on the pay-per-views. Either way, I think the fans just like the sport, and kind of it seems like right now, the more the better, and wherever it is, they seek it out, they find it, they want to watch it, and they enjoy it. But I think, obviously, going on a network is going to be a whole other thing, and it's going to be great for new people to be able to see it instead of having to seek it out on those high channels, the cable.
And the only other thing I want to quickly add is, and I think, Frank, maybe you'll agree, and all of us, is that while it's good to have competition, I would like to see streamlined rules for every organization, that we fight under the same rules, we fight on the same fighting surface, so that we don't confuse the masses. And I think that's a work in progress for mixed martial arts to come under the same umbrella when it comes to either, you know, if it's going to be the cage, it's the cage. And, you know, if it's going to be, you know, in Japan, you can kick to the head, there's knees to the head, there's elbows in some organizations, not elbows in others. I really, truly believe that if all the organizations decided on one set of firm rules, that would make it much easier and really help the sport flourish even more.
We'll go to Ariel Hawani of MMArated.com. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, great to be with you. I just wanted to start off with Morrow. First off, Morrow, congratulations, 1 year anniversary of Fight Network Radio, just as a side.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to know, because as you know, I've been trying to find out for a while what your role would be in this telecast, and now we find out that you're sort of the Max Kellerman of the three-man booth. How comfortable are you going to be? Because for people who have been following you for a while in your work, we know you as the lead play-by-play man. So how comfortable are you going to be in this new position?
Well, thank you very much, Ariel, for the question. And yeah, anyone who's followed me knows, you know, I've been a predominantly a play-by-play guy for 22 years, starting at 16 with various sports, and then 1999 getting into combat sports with Muay Thai, and then moving on to Pride and various other organizations. But I can tell you that the opportunity afforded me by Pro Elite and CBS is one that you definitely do not turn down. And knowing my passion that I have for the sport, and my, you know, the anecdotal information that I can provide, and just the energy and passion passion that I bring to the broadcast. I truly am comfortable, especially working with a guy like Gus Johnson, who you know, again, as I said at the beginning, one of the preeminent play-by-play guys, who I know is a tremendous quarterback of the broadcast, and Frank Shamrock, who will definitely handle the X's and O's and breaking down what the fighters are doing. I think my role is really to humanize these fighters, to stress the importance of each fight and where they might go from here. And to be honest with you, I don't want to say the role is easy because it's not, but I really truly believe that this is a role that I can make unique to myself, and it is a new experience, but I promise to bring everything that is my signature in terms of being in this role that I always do as a play-by-play guy, just knowing that the role is different, and to make sure that I fit into the three-man booth. So I'm very excited, nervous as all of us are, because this is the first time we're doing this on network television, but I am very confident in the crew that's been assembled, that we will definitely bring the fans the information and the energy that they deserve.
Well, you talk about that signature, and that's obviously, you know, very exciting, high impact. You're always, you know, you sort of, for the fans watching at home, they sort of feel like they're there when you're on the call, at least for me. And that's the same with Gus Johnson. That's sort of his signature, you know, very exciting, you know, screaming when needed and all that. Have you guys been able to, you know, obviously we just heard about the announcement, but we don't know what goes on or how long this has been in place. Have you guys been able to sort of practice how you would work out in terms of your styles and not having that maybe inevitable clash?
Well, I think, you know, granted, it's obvious. Gus Johnson is the play-by-play guy. He will be doing what Gus Johnson does, and it is a different role for me. And I think you are going to see a more restrained and maybe more subdued Mauro Ranallo, because I'm not calling the fight. I am analyzing the fights. And so it may even, you know, I may surprise a few people who have followed my career. And, I just want to compliment the rest of my partners on the broadcast, and I've been chosen for a specific role. It is my job to do my homework and prepare for it, and like I say, the one good thing about working with a guy like Gus Johnson is in many ways we are very similar in the passion and intensity we bring to a broadcast. So I'm just going to have to, instead of being my normal Spinal Tap-esque 11, maybe I'll be a 7 or an 8.
Okay, awesome. I just had a couple questions for Gus. Gus, in the previous question, I heard you even mention the name Dream. So obviously that tells me that you are up to date with the world of mixed martial arts. You're not coming in as a total newbie. If you could just tell us a little bit, you know, do you actually watch the pay-per-views? Do you, you know, go online and read up? Do you know who, you know, some of the not big names, you know, like not like the Tito Ortizes of the world, but, you know, some of the up-and-coming stars? Or is this a fairly new venture for you?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, I've really been studying a lot, and I've had an opportunity to go to, you know, different sources to study. Fight Sport magazine, I like it. I'm sitting here looking at the 2000 review and the Spider on the cover, and Anderson Silva, and you know, I've been prepping a lot and trying to find out, you know, who the great fighters in the world are, who I should be paying attention to, whether it be Randy Couture or Rampage, some of the guys over there at the UFC, and also really studying the guys that we have here, the ruthless Robbie Lawlers and the Jake Shields, who are ranked in the top 10 in the world in their weight classes. So it's going to be a work in progress. It is a new sport for me, and I won't lie about that and try to make it anything other than what it is, but I think I'm a quick study, and I like this sport. I think this is a very refreshing sport for me, because these athletes that we're going to be highlighting are hungry. One thing I've noticed is they're very nice people, and they're not arrogant, and you know, they're not overpaid, and it's something that, as I mentioned, coming out of pro football and pro basketball and high levels of college basketball and high levels of professional boxing, having an opportunity to work in mixed martial arts, I think, is a great career move for me, because I was starting to get a little bored in some of the other things that I was doing, and I think that this adding this to my career is going to really give me some new life and energy. So it's going to take some time. Like I said, there's going to be a learning curve here, but I have a man like Mauro sitting next to me and a legend like Frank Shamrock on the other side, and I don't think that it's going to take very long for me to be up to speed with everything that I need to know when it comes to mixed martial arts.
Okay, final quick question. Are you familiar with the almost cult-like following that you have online, particularly with the sports blogs, and how excited they are every time, you know, you're doing NCAA tournament and you're, you know, doing one of the main games? And if so, why do you think that is?
Just like Morrow, I think the reason that people like watching me, yes, I am familiar with those that cult-like following, and I'm a little, that's a lot for me. Even though I'm on television on a regular basis, I'm a very private person, and I can be a little bit shy at times, and you know, I like to pride myself with, pride myself in being under the radar, but I am familiar with the kids and how the kids have followed my career, and I'm really thankful and I'm really appreciative. That's why I always try to go out there and do every podcast, blog, website that I possibly can to show my respect towards these young people that are supporting me. But I think one of the reasons that they like me, as Morrow said, is just like Morrow, I think that we're excited. And we're excited about having the opportunity to call professional sporting events or college sporting events or just being in sports television. And when the game or when the match or when the fight is at its highest point, like Morrow, we let go. And I think that's one thing that a lot of the kids appreciate. Now, some older people think we, you know, I may yell and scream too much and, you know, I'm a loud mouth, but and that's okay too, and that's a fair criticism. But, you know, I am aware of the cult following, and I think that because, you know, you show a certain passion for your job, you know, some people really take to it, and that's been the case so far.
All right, thanks, guys. Best of luck to you on the 31st.
We'll now go to Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. Please go ahead.
Hey, Gus, I'm glad I didn't get into a fight with you, man. I didn't know you were a boxer.
Teddy, what's going on, man? How are you, brother?
Things are good. For you, Frank, and if anybody else wants to chime in, you know, for people who've never watched this before, what would constitute a great fight? I mean, how many rounds? How long would it go? A lot of takedowns. I mean, just sort of describe what constitutes a great fight, you know, hoping that you guys get one on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have a lot of great fights, but what constitutes a great fight for me is showing all the styles in mixed martial arts, or showing the game as a complete one, which the time is not as important, but it does take a few minutes to develop, you know, a complete game and a complete story. But, you know, a little punch, kick, wrestle, knee, throw, some ground and pound, position changes, and a nice submission hold, something definitive that we could showcase, you know, prominently on film and on camera. But something that shows the whole game from top to bottom. And, you know, it takes, you know, 2 to 3 minutes to do it. It can take as much as 2 to 3 rounds. But if we've done our job of marketing these guys right, and they can tell that story through the art, you know, I think it's beautiful. And then the knockout is good too. You know, that's definitely a definitive end that's hard to argue with. But either way, you know, as long as there's a finish to the fight or it's a successful fight, I think we're doing our job.
Anybody else?
I thought, Gus, but I was just going to say, if you look at this card on paper, the 5 fights that are scheduled for May 31st on CBS, the promoters, you get one chance to make a first impression, and there's no doubt that they want to come out of the gates with a bang. I mean, these matchups probably will spell some emphatic and electrifying ends in almost every fight. I mean, while it would be nice to see a lot of the groundwork, because I feel that the ground game is the art in mixed martial arts, I think we're going to see a litany of knockouts and that's okay by me, too, especially with casual North American fans watching for the first time. Everybody loves a KO, and I think you're going to get an all-you-can-eat buffet on Saturday, May 31st.
Clarify, that was Morrow just speaking in Frank before?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now go to David Darling from the Orlando Sentinel. Please go ahead.
I'd like some thoughts from all of you on this, but this sport traditionally is a guy sport, and Saturday nights traditionally are a date night. I think a lot of women consider this sport to be a little too brutal for them to watch. I'm just wondering, what's the strategy to try to combine the two of Saturday night guys and Saturday night date night, and how do you engage women to get them to watch?
I think you just said it yourself, and Karen, sorry, I'm pretty sure you want to answer this. I as Morrow, I just want to say, again, culturally speaking, it's weird because when I was in Japan from 2004 to 2007, you saw couples, husband and wives, dressed up, 40,000 fans in Japan watching MMA. That was the date. And if you go to a UFC event or a lot of our Elite XC events or any show that I've been, small or big, in Canada and the United States, you would be amazed at the amount of females that are there. And I know Karen can speak a lot more toward it, but I think this whole brutality and the blood sport and the stigma that is attached to mixed martial arts, you know, they say that ignorance is bliss, and I think those people are living in a blissful state. If you watch, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, because yes, it is the purest form of competition, yes, there is contact, yes, there can be blood, but it's like seeing a crunching body check in hockey, a devastating tackle in football, the hard fouls in basketball. I think females are already drawn to the sport, and I think Saturday, May 31st, we'll see a lot of women watching, and not to degrade what we're doing, but when you see good-looking guys who are in perfect shape and their tight fight shorts doing their thing, I think, Karen, you'll agree that's not such a bad thing for the ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I say that in jest a lot of time, that what woman wouldn't want to be at a job where I'm around guys in perfect shape, mostly naked, but you can't discount that. I mean, you really can't. But I think, truthfully, as far as our broadcast goes, we are going to, definitely involve the personality of the fighters. A lot of these guys have sort of outsized personalities that you can play on. That may be something that, if we're talking about what women usually respond to, that might be something they'd usually respond to. There are definitely going to be celebrities in the audience. We will have them participate, to a degree, as far as, asking them what their thoughts on the fight were. There's a way, I think, to make the sport more relatable to women who aren't usually down with sports but who like entertainment. I think that they may come away from this seeing the entertainment that goes along with the sport. But I think also the fact that we have Gina Carano in there, who, is on American Gladiator. She's a lovely girl. She's a sweetheart of a girl, and she's a hell of a fighter. I think that by highlighting her and Caitlin in a female fight, you're going to see a lot of women who maybe didn't understand that this is a sport for everybody, and I think that they're going to see themselves in her to a degree. I mean, it's a very primal sport. I've been around boxing now for a while, and certainly a lot of women have asked me, how tough is it to be sitting there, ringside, and in this case it's going to be cage side, and I say, it's not tough at all. I mean, as a woman, maybe I'm a little more sensitive sometimes, going, oh, Jesus, that guy's a really great guy, and I just saw him get beat up. But that really goes away quickly when you look at the intensity and the athleticism and just the beauty of what they're doing in there. And it certainly is primal, and, it doesn't mean that women aren't going to be able to relate to it, because when you see the action in there, it's just too intense to look away, I think.